Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another Parasha Share. This time focusing on Parashat Miketz, the continuation of the Yosef story. And as I spoke about last week, the governing overarching question we've been asking every single week, why exactly did the Torah decide to include this, becomes very tricky when it comes to the Yosef story, because it's a far more stylized story-like story than everything else we've read in Tanakh until now. Everything we've read in the Torah in Sefer Bereshit until now, generally speaking, the details that the Torah seeks to include in the Yosef story are the kinds of details you'd encounter in any kind of well-written story. So it is much harder to point to seemingly unnecessary details that the Torah provides. However, when it comes to Parashat Miketz, pretty obviously at first we have an example of this right near the beginning of the parasha, and the realization, what made me realize a piece of unnecessary repetition was going through the parasha while also learning Rashi. Because Rashi typically comments on almost everything. The only time you'll go through large blocks of Torah text without any Rashi commentary is when the Torah is basically repeating something already said. If the Torah is basically repeating several verses, it's almost copy and pasted the verses, then Rashi doesn't really feel a need to comment too much. It's why, for example, the Parashat of Vayakhel and Pikudei, which basically repeat the construction of the Mishkan previously detailed in the Parashat of Truma and Tetzaveh, there's barely any Rashi to those Parashat, because it's almost a copy and paste job within the Torah. So to hear at the beginning of Parashat Miketz, we have what seems at first glance to be a copy and paste narrative in the Torah. Parashat Miketz begins, and I'll share the source sheet in a second, but Parashat Miketz begins by describing Paro's dreams, the two different visions that he has, and then Yosef is brought in to interpret those dreams, and Paro repeats those dreams again for Yosef. And very simply, the question is, why doesn't the Torah just say, and Paro related the dreams that Yosef had, that he had had to Yosef? Why does the parasha, why does the Torah repeat these dreams? Why does it give us Paro's wording of how he related these dreams to us? Why do we need to read it all over again? And so once again, we're going to be talking a little bit about the significance of dreams, as we did last week, but more focusing on what exactly is going on in this repetition. So the first thing to note as I now share the screen, there's always that, I always draw attention to the very awkward pause, especially for people listening on the recording, while I'm staring at like the 15,000 options Zoom gives you as what screen to share. I recently added a third monitor, so that was confusing me even more, because I was trying to figure out exactly how to display what is the source sheet everyone now sees before them. But something that's actually important to note, and it's kind of cool, the story of Yosef is bookended by dreams. It begins with him having two dreams. His first possibility for redemption begins with two dreams, the dream of the cupbearer and the dream of the baker. I think last week I said butcher and baker. I can't help it. That's just like butcher, baker, candlestick maker. So I know one of the dreams is a baker in Parashat Vayeshev. So I think instinctively I always say butcher and baker, but it's cupbearer and baker. And then obviously Yosef's redemption is complete, the beginning of Parashat Miketz, with again two dreams. We spoke a lot last week about whether or not dreams are significant. What exactly do they reflect? It is clear from the parasha, from the wording, the very first source on the sheet, verse 8 of chapter 41, Paro is already aware of the significance and power of the dreams. After having the dreams, we read, Vayhiva vaboke vatipo im rucha. He is agitated the next morning. He is upset. He is concerned. He's realized he's not just had a nightmare. He's had a significant experience. Vayishlach vayekrat kol chartumei Mitzrayim vet kol chachameha. He summons the, we spoke about the chartumim way back last year during our parasha shiurim in the story of the beginnings of of Sefer Shemot, the Egyptian lector priests, these were magicians, who very much have a certain power. So the first thing Paro does is he summons his most powerful magicians, and he summons all the wise people, and he asks them to interpret his dream. He retells the dream to them, but none of them could interpret them. Paro recognizes there is significance to dreams. It's worth pointing out that while for us, this is at this point, again, dream sequence number 3 of the Yosef story. For Paro, it is dream number 1. Again, it always comes back to the problem with us as the omniscient reader, knowing the story, having read the story, but Paro is completely unaware at this point of the existence of Yosef. Obviously, he doesn't know this story began with Yosef having 2 dreams. He doesn't know the story continued with the butcher, with the baker, sorry, and the cup bearer having dreams. As far as Paro is concerned, the story begins here with his dreams. And so the significance of those dreams shouldn't be taken for granted, but it's actually interesting to recognize he instantly spots a significance to these dreams. These dreams require interpretation. He needs to know what is happening, what is going on with these dreams. Now let's put ourselves in Paro's shoes. We've had a disturbing dream, 2 dreams. We need to interpret them because we have a sense that they are some sort of vision. And all the people who he would usually turn to for their interpretations are unable to satisfy him. By the way, this is an important point that we will come back to. What is it about the dreams? It's interesting phrasing of the Torah here. Ve'ein poter otam lefaro. None could interpret them to Paro. It seems to imply, or kind of, you know, this is how we will come to understand it. It's not that they don't offer interpretations, but it's that Paro, for some reason or another, recognizes that the interpretations are wrong. Which is an interesting observation to already make, because usually if you're going to summon your Chartumim, your experts on dream interpretation, what is it about their explanations that he knows in advance they are wrong? The suggestion then comes that there is someone else who can actually interpret dreams somewhere in the vast recesses of the palace. Visham itanu na'ar ivri eved lasar hatabachim. A Hebrew youth was there, a servant of the prefect. Vanasapar lova yiftalanu et chalomatenu. He interpreted, we told him his dreams. We told him our dreams. He interpreted them. Ishke chalomot patar, telling us what happened. And indeed, they were correct. There's something important to recognize here. If you are Paro, you are going to be incredibly skeptical about this person you've just been told can interpret dreams. For starters, he is a Na'ar Ivri. He's a Hebrew. He's a foreigner, right? We've spoken about this before, how Ivri, Hebrew, always refers to how another nation is looking at this person. They see him as an other. He's a stranger. He's not part of the upper class of Egypt. He's not even Egyptian. Furthermore, he's a slave turned criminal. You can imagine, right? You go, you're seeking medical advice, and no doctor offers an answer. And then someone's like, "Oh well, I know someone who gave me amazing medical advice." You're like, "Oh, tell me, who is this?" They're like, "A Bulgarian criminal who was arrested for, you know, drug smuggling and the like. It really, really knows stuff." You would be perplexed. You would be a little bit cautious over how much this person is going to be able to tell you, just by dint of their strangeness, their criminality, all of these various things. It's not simply that Yosef is this rando who happens to be good at dreams. He's a criminal. He's in prison. he's, and even the very fact that, you know, verse 14, Vayishlach Paro Vayikra et Yosef, he summons Yosef, he needs answers to his dream, so he's willing to do it, right? Fine, bring this person to me. And it's actually very interesting language. Vayiritzuhu min habor, they rush him from the dungeon, right? There is haste, there is urgency. However, Vaygalach Vaycholif Simlotav, Vayavol Paro. First, they have to shave him and clean him. Because he's a prisoner, he stinks, he's not fit to appear before Paro. So despite all this urgency to interpret these dreams, Paro realizes he needs to understand their message. There is still this tremendous hesitation when it comes to Yosef. He's not actually fit to appear before Paro, and his very existence, Yosef's very existence, is to a certain extent an affront to Paro. This adds to a level of suspicion regarding Yosef and regarding his ability to interpret the dreams, which brings us to their repetition. So one of my favorite people always to quote in these parashas Yerim, we've gone many, many weeks without me quoting him, but Dr. Yonatan Grossman, one of the best close readers of the Torah, argues that what we are reading in Parashat Miketz is not a repetition of the dream, but if we look closely, the dreams are distinct, are different in their repetition. Paro tells Yosef not exactly the same dreams as what the Torah told us, and he argues that these dreams, that Paro's retelling of these dreams is actually a test. Is actually a way of testing whether Yosef actually knows what he's talking about. So if we look, first of all, at the first dream, and it's in the first dreams of the cows more than the ones about the wheat. So Parashat Miketz begins with the dream, with the dreams. V'hine min hayo'or olot sheva parot. Out of the Nile there came seven cows, yifot mar'eh uvriot basar, pleasant to look at, strong, vatir'ena ba'achu, they graze in the reed grass. V'hinei sheva parot achirot olot achareihen min hayo'or. Seven other cows came up from the Nile, ra'ot mar'eh v'dakot basar, ugly, gaunt, vata'amodna eitzal haparot al sfat hayo'or, and stood beside the cows on the bank of the Nile. Vatochalna haparot ra'ot hamar'eva dakot habasa itsheva haparot yifot hamar'eva habriot. The lean cows eat the fat cows. And Vayikas Paro wakes up. He's had a nightmare. He's had a vision. When Paro then retells this story, let's note a couple of key differences. Vaydaber Paro el Yosef. Bachalomi hine oimed al svat hayo'or. In my dream, I was standing on the banks of the Nile. Vihine min hayo'or olot sheva parot briot basar vifot to'a vater ena ba'achu. Exactly the same as before. Healthy cows, good-looking cows, grazing in the reed coming out of the Nile. Vihine sheva parot achirot olot achirichen dalot v'rot to'a ma'od v'rakot basar. Then these ill-looking cows, these poor-looking cows also emerge. I've never ever seen that ugliness in the land of Egypt. That's like a parenthetical comment. That's nothing particularly significant. And then he goes straight to Vatochalna haparot harakot vaharot et sheva parot rishonot vahabriot. He goes straight to they ate the other cows. He skips this detail in the original dream where the cows are stood next to one another. He skips that piece of information. And then he adds another. Vatavona el kirbena, when they had consumed them. Velo noda ki va'u el kirbena umar ehen rak asher batchila. And even after having eaten these fat cows, you could not tell that they had consumed the fat cows, va'ikats, and then I woke up. Paro removes one crucial detail. The cows were stood next to each other at first, and adds a detail out of nowhere that the lean cows didn't appear to have gained anything from eating the fat cows. Now, This is actually very, very significant and striking, because if I am relating a vision I have had to a dream interpreter, every piece of information is crucial, right? The placing of everything, the vision, all that. If I'm starting to add extra details, I'm going to mess with the possible interpretation. And if I remove details, I'm not giving them enough information to work from. So what on earth, why is Para bothering to change details? And the answer perhaps lies in the realization, and something Para himself believes. The dream interpretation is, in some sense, either a magical or divine grace. Your ability to interpret dreams is not based on actually listening to and hearing the actual dreams as they are told, but instead knowing in advance or knowing what the dream's details are, regardless of any details given. And therefore, when Para tells Yosef, and there's good reason to assume, when Para describes these visions incorrectly to his Chartumim, he is testing to see whether or not they actually know anything. As I mentioned before, he is frustrated by the fact that the Chartumim and the wise people don't offer a satisfactory explanation. So Rashi quotes a midrash as to what exactly an unsatisfactory explanation is. Potrim hayuotam, that they were able to offer interpretations, aval lo lefaro, but non-satisfied, none were relevant to Para. Shelo haya kolan nichnas ba'oznav, velo haya lo korat ruach befitram. They weren't relevant in some way to him. Shehayu omrim, for they would say, Sheva banot atamolid, you will give birth to seven daughters, v'sheva banot atakover, and seven daughters you will bury. Right? That's a plausible interpretation of a dream. But what does it sound like? It sounds like, let's take a dream interpretation out of a hat and suggest it. Why does Para know that can't be a satisfactory explanation? Because in the actual dream, the cows were stood next to each other at one point. There is an overlapping moment in his dream where the lean cows and the fat cows are next to one another. He doesn't tell his Chartumim that information. And so when they tell him what turns out to just be generic dream interpretation at number 22, that, oh, you're going to give birth to seven daughters and bury seven daughters, he knows that can't be true because those two states, birth and death, cannot coexist. You can't have them both living and dead at the same time. And yet the dream clearly telegraphed that that would be the case, that there would be some, whatever exactly these dreams foretell. And Para doesn't know, but he knows that they do describe events that are going to overlap, that can't be mutually exclusive. And so if we turn to Yosef's interpretations of these same dreams, at first it looks like he falls afoul of this same problem. Hu hadavar, verse 28. Asher dibarti el Para, it is exactly as I have told Para, asher ha'elokim oseh hara et Para, it is only God who can actually reveal what is about to happen. So Yosef is already actually saying, and obviously this is actually an important point to recognize for other reasons, but Yosef is not actually claiming to be a dream interpreter. It's not that he has the power to let me listen to your dream, and after listening to it, I understand what it says, but instead, I'm going to call it again pseudo-prophecy, like I think I did last week, or at least I did after someone had asked a question and I kind of caveated using the term prophecy, but at least pseudo-prophecy, right? Quite frankly, to a certain extent, he's claiming to Power, it doesn't actually matter what you describe, now God is going to tell me what your vision was. Straight away, however, Yosef seems to make the same mistake. Hine sheva shanim ba'ot, seva gadol b'chol eretz Mitzrayim. There will be 7 years of famine. There are 7 years of abundance coming. V'kamu sheva shnei ra'av achareihen, after which there will be 7 years of famine. V'nishkach kol hasava b'eretz Mitzrayim. All the abundance of the land of Egypt will be forgotten. V'chila hara'av et ha'aretz. The land will be ravaged. V'lo yivada hasava ba'aretz mipnei harav hu achareichein. No trace of abundance will be left. Yichoved hu ma'od, for it will be very severe. This sounds like he is falling into Paro's trap. First of all, you're going to have two states that are mutually exclusive. 7 years of good, 7 years of bad. Following them. In other words, he's ignoring, and they will have no relationship to one another, right? It will be so bad that things will be forgotten. In other words, he is ignorant too of the real dream, which had the cows stood next to one another. Second, he seems to fall for Paro's perspective that the lean cows consumed the fat cows, and yet there was no indication otherwise. The land will be so ravaged, everyone will forget the abundance. In other words, this is exactly what Paro feared. This foreign criminal is just as much as a charlatan as the rest of the Chartumim. He's also just invoking generic dream interpretation, number 22. However, then Yosef does something shocking, because remember, Yosef is a criminal, a slave, a foreigner. And yet he now makes a suggestion to Paro as to how to solve the vision. Va'ata yere Paro ish navon v'chacham. Let Paro find someone who's discerning and wise. Vishiteo al Eretz Mitzrayim, who you can appoint to take charge. Yaseh Paro v'yafgeid pikidim al ha'aretz. He'll appoint overseers. V'chimesh et Eretz Mitzrayim, and they'll tax. They'll organize it. B'sheva shnei hasava, during these years of plenty. V'yikbetzu et kol ochal hashanei matavot, and then you'll gather a lot of food from these good years. Haba'ot ha'ela v'yitzberu var tachad yad Paro ochal ba'arim v'shamaru. Paro will collect the grain and will store it. Then during these 7 years of famine, and for that reason, the everything will be fine. You'll be able to survive the famine if you take advantage of the 7 years of plenty. In other words, again, there's two ways of kind of reading this. Is this ridiculously audacious plan, which it is. But what it also actually is Yosef's recognition of the true dreams of Paro. That you can make the years of plenty and years of famine stand by side, first by recognizing and accounting for the famine during the years of plenty, and saving enough during the years of plenty so that the years of famine are easier. Put the two by side by side. They're not mutually exclusive. You can treat the two as just two phases of a broader whole, just like the real dream had the cows next to one another. And second, Yosef is now discounting the addition Paro had inserted of the cow, the lean cows following the fat cows to no visible indication. In other words, Yosef interprets Paro's dream as he is told it, as the worst case dramatic scenario. But then he offers a solution that relies on the actual dream Paro had. The actual vision Paro had is what Yosef then offers practical advice on, which is why Vayitav had the vara be'enei Paro. This plan pleased Paro. It pleases everyone. Uveinei kol avadav. Vayomer Paro lavadav hanimtza kazeh isha sharuach al himba. Could we find another like him, a man with such divine spirit? And that's why. And we get this very bizarre phrase, right? Vayomer Paro el Yosef. Paro turns to Yosef. Acharei hodia olehim et chad kol zot. It is clear God has made this known to you. Ein avon v'chacham kamocha. There is none as wise or discerning as you. Why is Paro recognizing God? So there's two answers here. One is that what the Torah is actually doing here is kind of censoring what would have been Paro's celebration of his own gods, which is actually a very plausible reading. Alternatively, no, what Yosef has been saying this entire time is, I don't interpret dreams. I just listen to what God tells me and repeat it back. Paro recognizes he shifted the dreams around. He told lies. He took stuff out. But yet he still, but it becomes clear that Yosef knows the real dreams he had. And so Paro is so impressed by this, recognizing the fact that Yosef really, really understands this stuff, that that's what leads Paro to appointing Yosef and to recognizing not the God of Yosef as a God now he's going to worship, but Paro lives in a polytheistic world. He's open to the idea that people have different gods and those gods might be right. And so he's open to this idea that Yosef is really, truly a dream interpreter. And so when we encounter the beginning of Parashat Miketz, and we encounter what seems at first to be simply the repetition of Paro's dreams, what we actually read is mainly repetition, but some crucial tweaks changed around by Paro. And what this means is that he's able to test everyone who is offering interpretations to his dreams. And it's only when Yosef comes along and knows the content of the real dreams that Paro has, that Paro is willing to accept his advice. And that is why Paro has this such about extreme turn towards Yosef, suddenly elevating him, suddenly catapulting him. It's not just because Yosef offers a compelling explanation, but Yosef is the first person to discern the fact that Paro was not telling the truth when he retold his dreams to others, and Yosef interprets the real dreams instead.